Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. The idea that Christians would suggest that church attendance is not important is absolutely shocking to me. That just shows how much the culture is influencing churches today rather than churches influencing the culture. So I've entitled the message, All In. And I don't know if you can recognize the picture. When I picked this slide, I didn't know if you would understand what that picture is. That's somebody diving in the water. Can you see that? Diving headfirst in the water. That's the idea of all in. You know, my life and Sharon's life revolves around church. Does this sound a little loud to you? It doesn't sound normal to me this morning. Maybe it's just me. Does it sound loud? Sounds okay? All right. Anyway, our lives revolve around church. You know, you would think it would when you're the pastor of a church. And our lives revolve around church gladly. We consider it a privilege. My church history begins with, as a young child, down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at North Highlands Baptist Church. It's a little church in a neighborhood, a tree-lined older neighborhood down in what, if you were familiar with Baton Rouge, I would refer to it as in North Baton Rouge. Okay. North Highlands Baptist Church. My first memories of church are of the toddler room. And they had the coolest toys in there. And that's just what I remember. This little teetotaler thing, or not teetotaler. What am I trying to say? Teeter-totter, yeah. It was just the coolest thing. And I have those memories. And, you know, I'm thinking, too, the kids growing up in this church, when they're 60, 65, 70 years old, they're going to remember, not my preaching, they're going to remember the fun zone. You know, and they really will. They will remember that. I also remember Pastor Lowe. And here I am just, six, 7 years old. And I just, when I would pass him on the sidewalk there at the church or in the hallway, I would just be in awe of him. And, you know, and I have to remember that I suppose maybe little kids here at the church might look at me that way. And I try to always acknowledge them and be kind to them as Brother Lowe was to me. In fact, I'm sure some of them kind of are in awe. One day I was walking down the hall here and one of the little bus kids looked up at me. He said, "Are you God?" I said, "Yes." Well, you would expect me that because Sharon's always telling me, "You think you're God." And I said, "Well, no." No, I didn't tell him yes. The church is important. And especially in this day and age, it is more important. With everything that discourages me about what I'm seeing in our culture, with everything that I'm seeing that would discourage me, I am more encouraged about the importance and the value of the church and it being healthy and vibrant. This morning, I want us to look in Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look at really just a couple phrases that I hope will reinforce in you the idea of the importance of the church and you being all in, you being committed to it. Because obviously it's going around that it's not necessary to be faithfully committed to a local church. And some people are even trying to make a biblical case for that. That's fallacious, but that's what they're trying to do. Well, I'm fighting back this morning. I'm going to make a biblical case for you being committed to the local church and valuing the local church. Do churches have their problems? Of course. Are churches flawed? Of course, because people are flawed. But that in no way justifies someone not being fully committed to their local church, because even those flaws within a church, God can use you to be a better Christian. So you need to understand that. He might be using flawed people to teach you patience or to teach you compassion. So yeah, we're all flawed. We pastors are flawed. But understand, that's no excuse for not being involved. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You know, Jesus had created quite a stir. I mean, you start healing people and raising people from the dead, that's going to make the headlines. And I can imagine people sitting around the barber shop or the beauty shop or the store, I sort of say, or the gas station. I don't guess that was in effect back then. Debating the issue. Who is this Jesus? Did you hear about what he did? So Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." Then in verse number 15, "And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then verse number 18, where we're going to focus. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you are saved, that means you have a Savior. Your Savior is Jesus Christ. Your Savior says here, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In those phrases right there, I think is all the reasons you need to be fully committed to your local church, to be all in. Folks, we have to be all in various aspects of our life, not just the church. You either need to be all in or all out. I mean, when it comes to the institution of marriage, you're either all in or all out. You can't get married and say, "I'll be married to you on, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, but Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we're not going to be married," or "I'm going to come home to you some nights, but some nights I'm not. You know, I'm going to write love letters to you, but I'm also going to write love letters to somebody else." That's not the way it works. You are either all in or you are all out when it comes to the institution of marriage. That's also true of employment. You go and take a job, and they tell you, "Hey, okay, you're going to work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. You know, and you show up 9 to 5, and you do what you're told to do. You know, you can't accept a job, and you tell them when you're going to show up, and you tell them what you're going to do. That's just not the way it works, even in the institution of employment and commerce. And that's certainly true when it comes to the armed forces. You know, you cannot join the army and kind of have a half-hearted attitude towards it. You can't be halfway in. You can't be there for your first day at boot camp and reveille sounds, I don't know, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, whatever, and all the other soldiers are getting up and you're in your bunk with your covers up here. And the sergeant comes in. And you say, "I'm sorry, Sarge, I don't do 5:30. You know, come back about 9, if you will, please, and hit the lights while you're on your way out." You know, that's absurd. Or, you know, he said, "We're deploying you to, you know, Iraq. You know, isn't it hot over there?" "Yes, it's hot over here. I don't do heat well. You know, how about Hawaii or something?" Yeah, you don't do that. But yet, for some reason, in our modern-day Christianity, which today is so heavily influenced by selfishness and worldliness, a lot of people think when it comes to the church, that's different. It's on my terms. I set the terms. And nothing could be further from the truth. Too many Christians today, and I was talking to Brother Jamie about this the other day, too many Christians seem to be hesitant about being all in. And when I say all in, I mean all in. I told Brother Jamie, he was asking me about someone. And I said, you know, I'm concerned about a lot of people today. Especially it seems as if young couples, but now that I think about it, it's not limited to young couples, who come to church and they're interested, but it's kind of like putting your foot in the water. You're testing it. And you're not convinced to be all in. And you're just constantly, you're coming occasionally, you're doing some things occasionally. When something seems cool, you'll be a part of it. You know, as long as there's no real commitment or anything, just kind of putting your foot in the water. Folks, that's not what God has in mind for us. Verse 18 reveals why we as Christians should be all in when it comes to church. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we're going to focus on the second half of that verse. A lot of you that have been saved for a while, you know the controversy around the first half of that verse. You know, there are some people that claim this is Jesus making Peter the first pope. We don't believe that here. But that's not germane to what we're talking about today. That's another topic for another time. But the second half of that verse that you're looking at right there gives what I believe are profound reasons for you to be absolutely all in, totally in, completely in, diving in. Let me give you three reasons from this passage. Number one, the church belongs to your Savior. He's your Savior, right? If you're saved this morning, okay. He says, I will build my church. We are a part of His church. It is His church. It's important enough that He calls it my church. How dare we demean the importance of that? What's He talking about when He says church here? Well, the word church comes from the word ecclesia. And in Christian theology, it means a particular body of faithful people, the whole body of the faithful, or had an original meeting of an assembly, a local assembly, a congregation, a council, literally a convocation. So when Jesus is talking about the church, I really believe He is talking about, yes, I think there is a universal church, that being all of us believers. Sharon and I are going down to see our son who pastors Liberty Baptist Church in Dalhart, Texas in a couple of weeks. They are not members of this local church. We're not members of their local church. But we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are part of a church body. There's a kindred spirit among all believers that some refer to as the universal church. But most often in the Bible, it's talking about what we have right here, a local body of believers. You know, I mean, there's the church at Thessalonica. There's the church at Philippi. And all these, the Laodicean church, all these local churches are emphasized in the Bible. And Jesus says, it's my church. I mean, that's important. If your Savior is talking about His church, our ears ought to perk up. And understand, we are His church because we have been bought with a price, okay? It cost Him His church. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are His church. We are a church that has been purchased at great price. In fact, one writer said, the quote's on the screen behind me, we belong to God. We have been ransomed by sacred blood. by a reference to the value of that blood, by all its preciousness and worth, by all the sighs and tears and groans that brought us, by the agonies of the cross and the bitter pains of the death of God's own Son, we are bound to live to God and to Him alone. We are the church. We have been bought at great price. Don't dare demean the importance and the value and the worth of a local church like Myo Baptist Church or Liberty Baptist Church down in Dalhart, Texas, or the local church that my son pastors in Lodi, Wisconsin, or Brother John Flanders pastors down in Clio, or Brother Brian Bach pastors down in Missouri, or Brother Tom Brunstra pastors there in California, or his brother James working at a church there in Korea. I mean, this is important. I mean, Jesus says, this is my church. And that alone ought to make us very interested in and concerned about and involved with and committed to that church that belongs to Christ. Number two, we see here, Christ is building his church. In that same passage, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The Lord saved us, and it's his desire, his will, his goal, his purpose that others be saved. Christ is personally involved. He says, I will build my church. That means adding disciples. That means seeing people get saved. Building his church consists of people hearing the gospel and trusting Christ. And Christ builds his church. He adds disciples. He adds followers through his followers. We are a part of that program. It's his church. He says, I will build my church. And you and I are integral in him building his church. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means witness to them, give them the gospel, seeing them saved and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So that passage teaches us that we are his, the church, the local called out assembly. The church isn't this building. We're grateful for the building. That's really not the church. The church are the people sitting in the pews here this morning. And he says, I will build my church. And we see very clearly in Matthew chapter 28, and there's numerous other places in Scripture, how is he going to do that? Through you and me. And that's the second reason we need to be fully in. We need to be all in. We need to not just be testing the water with our toes. We need to dive in. And reason number three, the reason the church is so important that you should be so committed to it, that you should be all in, is because his church shall prevail against all enemies. Now, I wish I could get up here this morning and tell you that, you know, you get on, you know, the Lord's ship, if you will, you know, that it's the love boat. You know, it's just a cruise, that it's all good, and, you know, there's never going to be any trials. But the truth of the matter is, when you get saved, you don't really get on the love boat. You get on a battleship. I wish I could tell you that there are no enemies here, but there are real enemies, desperate enemies that want to do harm to the cause of Christ. Now, there will come a time we won't have to worry about that. When the Lord comes again and he sets up his reign forever and Satan's done away with. But right now, we have an enemy. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In that same passage, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell would be symbolic and representative of Satan. In 1 Peter 5:8, we're told, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Quote from a theologian says, Satan sows discord, accuses God to men, men to God, and men to men. He will do what he can to drag the Christian out of fellowship with Christ, out of church, if you will, and out of Christian service. But the good news this morning is Satan will ultimately fail at his attempt. One of the reasons to get involved in the church is to be on the winning side. For we read in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented night and day forever and ever." To be involved in the local church, folks, is to acknowledge we're going to have battles, but in the end, we are going to be victorious. You are on the winning side by choosing to be a Christian. So, this isn't the time for us to downplay the importance of church and make sure that we are loosely affiliated with the church, that we don't want to get too involved. Why? Because the church that we're talking about belongs to Christ, and he paid a great price for it. Christ also, secondly, is building his church. I mean, this is ongoing. The church is alive. It's a living organism. And the Lord is using us as disciples to make new disciples. And thirdly, the church will prevail against the enemy. So there is a battle going on, and we need all hands on deck. As the battle rages, we don't need people that when we are called to assemble to be somewhere else doing something of far less significance. So what does it all matter? Why should it matter to you whether or not you are all in or not? And I'm talking to those of you that you have good intentions, you mean well, you're thinking about it, you're wanting to do right, but as far as being able to be counted on, that's lacking. And I would picture those people as kind of just, you know, Should I get in? Should I not get in? Should we get involved? Should we not get involved? Why should it matter to you? Well, let me ask, are you saved? Okay, if I'm talking to you and you're saved, then you love the Lord, right? And you will do anything he tells you, right? You say, "Pastor, you're going somewhere with this." Oh, yeah, I'm going somewhere with it. You're saved, and he's your Savior, and you'll drop everything you're doing to obey him. Well, listen to what his word says. Luke chapter 9, verse number 62. "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That says to me, when this young man came to him trying to decide whether he was going to be all in or not, the Lord says, once you're in, you're in. Don't look back. Don't look back at the old life. Don't look back at the old friends. Don't look back at the old habits. You know, you get all in. Now, if he's your Savior this morning, that's what he's telling you. And you're going to either live in obedience and have the blessings of God upon you, or you're going to live in disobedience and you're going to struggle more than what you need to. How about Luke chapter 14? Verse number 25. "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them," all these people are following him, this great multitude, and he's going to explain what this means. "If any man come to me," okay, you're following me. He's, what he's doing now, he said, you count the cost because I want you all in. You're either for me or you're against me. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, does that mean you have to follow Jesus? You have to hate your mom and dad? No, but the idea here is he's got to be first. Totally first. Total commitment to him. I know that's strange in America today, where we take great pride in being independent and self-made men and self-made women. But folks, we're not talking about that. We're talking about something far more important. That's our relationship to Christ, and he demands total commitment. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." He is clearly explaining, you can't just keep testing the waters. Maybe as a new baby Christian, I think if you look at Scripture, he has some allowance, giving folks some time to grow. I understand that. A brand new Christian might not understand, at least initially, what is involved of them, but they sit through services like this. We ought to see growth. We ought to see greater and greater commitment. In that same chapter, Luke 14, down verse number 33, he says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples." Now, he might not make you forsake all, but you need to have such a state of mind that this is so important that you're willing to forsake all. Whatever he says, you're supposed to do. Now, he's your Savior, right? I would like to believe everybody in here is saved. That's what he says. And you're putting yourself in jeopardy by not being all in. 1 Peter 2:9. "But ye are a chosen generation." This is talking about you, my friend. "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Amen. You see, my heart breaks for those who just spend way too long time putting their toes in the water. My heart breaks for you because you're missing out. You really are missing out. You know, you're kind of one of those lukewarm Christians that the Bible talks about. Do you know what the Lord had to say about that? He's going to spew you out of his mouth. He'd rather that you be cold than warm. He wants you to be hot. So how do I know, Pastor? Let's say you got the right heart this morning. Maybe you're even feeling a little convicted. And you're thinking right now, I don't know if I'm all in or not. You know, how would you describe a person being all in? Well, I've been in the ministry for 40 years. And I think this is an accurate representation of what it means to be all in. You're all in when you embrace the responsibilities of church membership. That's a good indication that you're all in when you're faithful. The doors are open, you're here. Now, I know sometimes people are on vacation. Sharon and I are going to take a little trip in a couple of weeks. We'll be in church on the road, but we won't be here. I realize sometimes people are sick, fully sympathetic to that. Can't be at church, and we got something contagious. We don't want you to be at church, okay? But sometimes you got to work. There are some jobs, like I've said many times in this pulpit, I'm glad there's policemen on duty right now, that if we need them, they would come. So I understand that. But unless there's something compelling, a person is all in is somebody who is faithful. A person given to prayer. A person committed to giving. A person who is growing in the Lord. I had a wonderful conversation last night with a man who was sharing with me how he is growing in the Lord. That kind of tells me, you know, he's all in. And then service. Having an area of which you are contributing to the ministry, to the church. You know, God's given you gifts. He's given you talents. Everybody's got different gifts, different talents. And you understand that, and you are using those unique talents you have in the church. So those would be indications to me as a pastor, as the shepherd of the flock, that somebody is all in. But let me give you something I think is even more insightful. And let me say this. I run the risk of making somebody mad with this next list of indicators that you're all in, okay? I run that risk because you're liable to hear this and you think, oh, I don't meet any of those criteria. You know, I'm guilty of all of them. Well, don't get mad, folks. Guess what? I got a better idea. Get right. I should have got some amens on that one. Don't get mad. Get right. What a great thing to do. What a novel idea. Get right. I never thought about that before. I usually just get mad when a preacher says something that I don't want to hear. Well, here it goes. These are indicators that you are all in with your local church. Number one, when nobody in the family ever asks, "Are we going to church?" It's understood. If I hear that about a family, I'm thinking, they're in. They're all in. They don't debate it. And I really believe that's the attitude that God wants you to have about his church, for whom his son died to buy us, to put us in there, to use us. When nobody in the family ever asks, are we going to church, it's understood. Number two, an indicator that you're all in. When it is given that the tithe is the first thing to come out of the paycheck each week, you're all in. You say, do people really think that way? The McMorrises have ever since we've been married. I'm not patting myself on the back. That is a given. Never been debatable. The tithe is the first thing. And if we're running into trouble with creditors, okay, we'll call the creditors, we'll work something out, we'll pay them off, but, you know, the tithe, that's always number one. If somebody is tithing and they have that kind of spirit as their pastor, as the under-shepherd of the flock, my assessment, when I hear somebody say that that's the way they do it, I'm thinking, they're all in. Number three, when you have a great passion for your area of service, be it choir, ushering, nursery, Sunday school teacher, etc. You know, when you have a passion. When I see somebody that, you know, they're serving in an area and you know they love it, and there's a passion there. You know, and they're at their post, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, nursery, or whatever, you know, they are all in. And then lastly, when someone offends you at church and you never miss a beat, that person is all in. That person is all in. And you know what I can say this morning? There's a lot of people in this room that I'm looking at right now that I praise God for, because you are all in. And there are people in this room that have been all in for years. And should it be any other way when it comes to the church? You would never think of not being all in your marriage. You would never think of not being all in with your job. In fact, you would explain to other people, you need to be all in with your wife, with your husband, totally committed to them. You know, not being slack with them. And let's say you had a son or daughter that's young, that's getting in, starting a job. I mean, you're as a good parent, you're going to tell them, you need to be all in. Now, be there on time. Be there early. And give it your best no matter what you're doing. Whatever the job, give it your best. And you'd be giving them the right advice. And you're going to be all in when you join the Army, Air Force, Marines, Navy. You know, you're going to tell your son or daughter that signs up, you know, give it your best, do your best. That's how you're going to blossom. That's how you're going to do well. That's how you're going to rise through the ranks. But church, oh wait, church, I'm busy. We got this, we got that, or I didn't like this, or I don't like that. Think about that for a second. Does that make sense? You know, Christ instituted the idea of work, and Christ really institutes government, which would be behind, you know, the military, and certainly Christ instituted the marriage, but he instituted the church too. And more than ever before, with the direction our country seems to be heading, more than ever before, do we need people that we can count on, people that are dependable. Matthew 16:18 says, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, here it is, I will build my church. Myo Baptist Church. I will build, still building, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You need to be all in, because as part of the church, you belong to Christ. You've been bought with a price. You need to be all in because as part of the church, he has a very important job for you to do. Build his church. You need to be all in because as part of the church, you are very blessed to be on the winning side. The battle can rage and the battle can ebb and flow, but in the end, he's going to win, and you are privileged to be on the winning side. The devil is having his way with you, if any of you buy into the idea that I just can't be committed. I can't be all in. I've never seen half-hearted people happy about anything. A person that is half-hearted about his marriage, I guarantee you, there's problems and he's not happy. A person half-hearted about his work, his employment, oh, that's the happiest people you'll ever meet in your life. No. Somebody that's half-hearted about the military, oh, they may get out. It'd be a dishonorable discharge. They're not happy. A person half-hearted in church, you're not going to find a happy, half-hearted church member. The people that are happy, the people that are blessed, are the ones that are absolutely committed. And we need that today more than ever. And I want you to commit for you. And this afternoon, I'm going to give you some very practical reasons on the blessings and the benefits that come for those of you that are committed. And let me say this as we close. To those of you that have proven yourself committed, that we can count on, that we can depend on, may the Lord bless you. And as your pastor, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Because there are people here, I never have to worry. I know they have proven themselves over the years. And I see God's blessings on their lives as it's meant to be.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.